Are you sure your Letty was telling the truth about Howl? She asked anxiously. Positive, said Michael. I know when she's lying. She stops twiddling her thumbs. She does too, said Sophie, chuckling. How do you know? Michael asked in surprise. Because she's my sister's granddaughter, said Sophie. And as a small girl, she was not always terribly truthful. But she's quite young and, well, suppose she changes as she grows. She, may not look quite the same in a year or so. Neither will I, said Michael. People our age change all the time. It won't worry us. She'll still be Letty. In a manner of speaking, Sophie thought. But suppose she was telling the truth, she went on anxiously, and she just knew Howl under a false name. Don't worry. I thought of that, said Michael. I described Howl. You must admit he's pretty recognisable. And she really hadn't seen him or his wretched guitar. I didn't even have to tell her he doesn't know how to play the thing. She never set eyes on him, and she twiddled her thumbs all the time she said she hadn't. That's a relief, Sophie said, lying stiffly back in her chair. And it certainly was a relief about Martha. But it was not much of a relief, because Sophie was positive that the only other Letty Hatter in the district was the real one. If there had been another, someone would have come into the hat shop and gossiped about it. It sounded like strong-minded Letty not giving in to Howl. What worried Sophie was that Letty had told Howl her real name. She might not be sure about him, but she liked him enough to trust him with an important secret like that. Don't look so anxious, Michael laughed, leaning on the back of the chair. Have a look at the cake I brought you. As Sophie started opening the box, it dawned on her that Michael had gone from seeing her as a natural disaster to actually liking her. She was so pleased and grateful that she decided to tell Michael the whole truth about Letty and Martha and herself too. It was only fair to let him know the sort of family he meant to marry into. The box came open. It was Cesare's most luscious cake, covered in cream and cherries and little curls of chocolate. Oh, said Sophie. The square knob over the door clicked round to red blob down of its own accord, and Howl came in. What a marvellous cake! My favourite kind, he said. Where did you get it? I called in at Cesare's, Michael said in a sheepish, self-conscious way. Sophie looked up at Howl. Something was always going to interrupt her when she decided to say she was under a spell. Even a wizard, it seemed. It looks worth the walk, Howl said, inspecting the cake. I've heard Cesare's is better than any of the cake shops in Kingsbury. Stupid of me never to have been in the place. And is that a pie I see on the bench? He went over to look. Pie in a bed of raw onions. Human skull looking put upon. He picked up the skull and knocked an onion ring out of its eye socket. I see Sophie has been busy again. Couldn't you have restrained her, my friend? The skull yattered its teeth at him. Howl looked startled and put it down rather hastily. Is something the matter? Michael asked. He seemed to know the signs. There is, said Howl. I shall have to find someone to blacken my name to the king. Was there something wrong with the wagon spell? Said Michael. No. It worked perfectly. That's the trouble, Howl said, restlessly twiddling an onion ring on one finger. The king's trying to pin me down to do something else now. Calcifer, if we're not very careful, he's going to appoint me royal magician. Calcifer did not answer. Howl roved back to the fireside and realized Calcifer was asleep. Wake him up, Michael, he said, I need to consult him. Michael threw two logs on Calcifer and called him. Nothing happened, apart from a thin spire of smoke. Calcifer! Howl shouted. That did no good either. Howl gave Michael a mystified look and picked up the poker, which was something Sophie had never seen him do before. Sorry, Calcifer, he said, jabbing under the unburned logs. Wake up! One thick black cloud of smoke rolled up and stopped. Go away, Calcifer grunted. I'm tired. At this, Howl looked thoroughly alarmed. What's wrong with him? I've never known him like this before. I think it was the scarecrow, Sophie said. Howl swiveled round on his knees and levelled his glass marble eyes at her. What have you done now? He went on staring while Sophie explained. A scarecrow, he said. Calcifer agreed to speed up the castle because of a scarecrow. Dear Sophie, do please tell me how you bully a fire demon into being that obliging. I'd dearly love to know. I didn't bully him, said Sophie. It gave me a turn, and he was sorry for me. It gave her a turn, and Calcifer was sorry for her? Howl repeated. My good Sophie, Calcifer is never sorry for anyone. Anyway, I hope you enjoy raw onions and cold pie for your supper, because you've almost put Calcifer out. There's the cake, Michael said, trying to make peace. The food did seem to improve Howl's temper, although he kept casting anxious looks at the unburning logs in the hearth all the time they were eating. The pie was good cold, and the onions were quite tasty when Sophie had soaked them in vinegar. The cake was superb. While they were eating it, Michael risked asking Howl what the king had wanted. Nothing definite yet, Howl said gloomily, but he was sounding me out about his brother quite ominously. Apparently, they had a good old argument before Prince Justin stormed off, and people are talking. The king obviously wanted me to volunteer to look for his brother, and like a fool I went and said I didn't think Wizard Suliman was dead, and that made matters worse. Why do you want to slither out and looking for the prince? Sophie demanded. Don't you think you can find him? Rude as well as a bully, aren't you? Howl said. He had still not forgiven her about Calcifer. I want to get out of it because I know I can find him, if you must know. Justin was great buddies with Suliman, and the argument was because he told the king he was going to look for him. He didn't think the king should have sent Suliman to the waste in the first place. Now even you must know there is a certain lady in the waste who is very bad news. She promised to fry me alive last year, and she sent a curse out after me that I've only avoided so far because I had the sense to give her a false name. Sophie was almost awed. You mean you jilted the Witch of the Waste? Howl cut himself another lump of cake, looking sad and honourable. That is not the way to put it. I admit I thought I was fond of her for a time. She is in some ways a very sad lady, very unloved. Every man in Ingrie is scared stiff of her. You ought to know how that feels, Sophie dear. Sophie's mouth opened in utter indignation. Michael said quickly, Do you think we should move the castle? That's why you invented it, wasn't it? That depends on Calcifer. Howl looked over his shoulder at the barely smoking logs again. I must say, if I think of the king and the witch both after me, I get a craving for planting the castle on a nice frowning rock 1,000 miles away. Michael obviously wished he had not spoken. Sophie could see he was thinking that 1,000 miles was a terribly long way from Martha. But what happens to your Letty Hatter, she said to Howl, if you up and move? I expect that will all be over by then, Hal said absently. But if I could only think of a way to get the king off my back.